The summit on migration will be a one-day event at the United Nations. They're expecting about 120 heads of state to be there, as well as other experts and officials on migration and refugee work. And during the day, there will be public events, but also a number of side events. And the Holy See is taking the opportunity to organize this side event on responsibility and solution sharing, and especially looking at the role of the religious organizations that respond to these large migrant and refugee movements, since the churches and other religious organizations are so much in the forefront of responding to these migrating peoples, both in the humanitarian or emergency phase, but then also to help them find the solution that they need if they cannot return to their home country.
You have Cardinal Parolin coming, don't you, the Holy See's Secretary of State, so a very top-level delegation, if you like, representing the view, the vision of Pope Francis himself.
Absolutely, and of course Pope Francis has taken such an important global leadership role in responding to these problems, and also not only has the words, but also the deeds in terms of he himself sponsoring some refugee families in Vatican City and challenging at least all in the Catholic Church to have every parish and religious order sponsoring refugee families. So he will bring that message, and also as the diplomatic chief of the Holy See, then also look at the issues around the relations between states and doing this. Also, I will be serving on the Holy See delegation as well, and I know that we'll be trying to reflect in any interventions that occur at the summit itself, the thinking of the Holy See, the experience and the tradition of the Catholic Church, as well as the teaching of the Catholic Church on this.
Now, as you rightly say, the Catholic Church and other faith-based organizations play an absolutely crucial role in supporting migrants, and yet you point out that they're so often left out of the decision-making process at international level. Why is this, do you think? Why is the voice of the Church not being heard when it plays such an important part in this whole process?
Well, I think a big part of it is the way the United Nations is structured, and I'm not in any way making a negative criticism of the United Nations. I think the organization has certainly played an important role in the world since its founding. But I think because it's based on the membership of governments, many times governments forget that they're made by the people and they're elected by the people in most places. And so they see this as a government-to-government issue rather than looking at who in a country is responding to issues like the refugees and migration flows, and realizing that no government can solve a huge problem like this on its own. And that's very much the message that Pope Francis gave in Laudato Si. With all major global problems these days, they're so complex and the world is so globalized that you need to have a solidarity approach with governments working together, but also including civil society and churches and other religious structures.
Given this context, then, what hopes do you have for this summit, this first ever summit on the problem of migration?
Well, I have a number of hopes. I mean, one is it's taken a long time to organize this, and I think what's come through, at least for those of us who have been involved in the preparatory processes, is that, there's a recognition that this is a global issue. So much of the recent media attention has been on the situation in Europe and, those good practices in receiving refugees and those not good practices of some countries closing their borders or saying we'll only take a certain kind of refugees into our country. So you see that attention, but now I hope that this will once again see this as a global problem, understand that there's really only a small number of refugees in Europe or in North America or in some of the other high-income areas, and that, you know, it's really the developing countries that are shouldering and continue to shoulder the greatest burden of refugees. Also, I hope that it will open up the discussion, because it's about migrants and refugees, I hope it will open up the discussion to see it's not just a burden, that it's not just a problem, but that migration also brings a sharing of cultures and of values. And also, migration in many parts of the world is necessary because of the aging populations in a lot of the high-income areas, that we need people who are migrating to be able to take the jobs that are not going to be filled with the aging populations.
These are all crucial principles that you're pointing to. And yet, as you mentioned, the European Union didn't manage to agree on a common approach to the problems on European shores. It's even less likely, isn't it, that the UN, with such a huge number of countries involved, will be able to, if you like, overcome the national interests and really focus on these important principles.
Well, you're identifying a very, very crucial issue and challenge with UN processes, and that is that in the negotiations for these events, and especially the political documents that come out of them, a lot of times you're looking for the lowest common denominator so we could get consensus. And many times people are disappointed about that, and there are certainly many civil society organizations working with migrant and refugees that already are disappointed with the political document that got passed by the General Assembly last week and that we assume is going to be approved during the summit by the heads of state. But I think we have to remember that that should be just the beginning instead of a culmination, and that out of this, the states themselves should begin to look at what they've agreed to in these documents and then begin to implement it and operationalize it on a national level. And again, I think they need to be sure that they include civil society in that implementation and designing the implementation, monitoring it and evaluating it to see how open they really are to working with refugees and migrants and how much they can see these populations not just as a burden or a challenge or a problem, but also as part of the solution.
So in a very simplistic way, I suppose, do you actually think that this meeting there in New York is likely to have any concrete impact in the short or medium term on the lives of individuals and families who are fleeing from violence and conflict in the Middle East and elsewhere today?
Well, I think that both the Secretary General's report, UN Secretary General's report before the planning of the summit and now the work that went into the political document, I think they identify the need, and also I think it's a good sign that at first there was almost like a parallel consideration between refugees who are conformed to a certain definition of the Geneva Convention, they have to be people who are fleeing from persecution or for their lives, and migrants. And now much of the political document is talking about both. And I think it's beginning to recognize the fact that there are other factors besides conflict and wars and persecution, as terrible as they are, but other factors that force people to leave. And some of it is the whole situation of climate change. Some of it is the abject poverty. Some of it is the kind of long-term conflicts or displacement within countries where people don't qualify to be considered refugees, but they have sometimes less protection than refugees do. So I think by looking at this as a more holistic problem, then I hope that some holistic solutions could flow from it.